In First Corinthians, Colossians, not First Corinthians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Basically, this is a simple message on how to live the Christian life. Basically, it's Christianity 101. When I was trying to learn Greek, I think I've told you all this before, but I would study and study and study every hour, 1 hour a day, every day, besides Sunday. And I would study and study, and I'd get so far down the line that I got over my head, and I felt like I wasn't understanding what I was trying to learn, and felt like I wasn't going anywhere. So I decided, I did this two or three times, I go back to the alphabet, go back to the beginning, and start where I first started. And, you know, even though I was going over it very quickly, I just go back to the beginning. And sometimes we think Christianity is so complicated, you got to do this, you got to do that, and do this just right, you know. It's kind of like playing golf. I haven't played golf in years, but there's so many things you have to keep in mind. Your head has to be still. You gotta keep your head down. Your left arm doesn't need to bend until the last second. Your knees have to be at proper spacing, and each club, depending on the club. When you're first learning, you're trying to go over all these little details to be able to swing the club just right. And sometimes the Christian life, you feel like you got to do this, you got to do that, and you feel like you're failing or you're not living the Christian life properly, or you're making mistakes, or you're growing lukewarm when you didn't mean to, or you're falling into this sin, or you falling into that sin, and you're struggling just to live the Christian life. You're struggling. And sometimes you just have to go back to the basics. Get back to the beginning. What's it all about? What is the key to the Christian life? What are the simple steps of living a holy life? And that's what this text does, verses 6 and 7. Gives us the essence of the Christian life, how to progress as a Christian, how to be more like Christ, how to live like Christ. So let's read this text with this in mind. Therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. What Paul is telling the Colossians, don't forget how things got started. Stay with what got you where you're at. Don't forget how you received Christ and continue to walk in that way. Some of you may not be a Christian. Some of you are a Christian. Some of you may be a Christian, don't know it. Some of you may be a Christian, not a Christian, but you think you are. I mean, we probably got one of each of those categories here this morning. And you think you're a Christian, but you're not. Some of you may be a Christian, but you're wondering if you are. Some of you are a Christian, and you know you're a Christian. Some of you may be wondering if you're a Christian because you're struggling with sin. You're struggling, and you know you're struggling, and you wonder, can a true Christian live like this? And that's a good thing to think about. Let me not say, oh, you don't need to worry. You've said the prayer. You've walked the aisle. You've been baptized. Listen, there's going to be a lot of people in hell that's walked the aisle and been baptized. There's going to be a lot of people in hell who thought they were a Christian, and all along they did not know the Lord. And the Lord's going to tell them, depart from me, though you did this and though you did that. I never knew you. I never knew you from the beginning. And they had false assurance. I was witnessing to a guy in Colorado on the bus, and I said, you've lost your faith, because he quit going to church. I said, you lost your faith. He goes, no, I'm a good guy. I'm a good person. I'll be all right. And he was banking his salvation on just being a good person. It's like, you don't know Christ at all. You've never known Christ if it's all about being just a good person. But there are some people who claim to be Christians, and this is pretty prevalent, they claim to be Christians, but they don't live like Christians. They're not obeying God, or even have a desire to obey God. They love the world. They don't love God. And if you're in that category, if you're here and you kind of think, hey, yeah, I'm a Christian, I remember being saved, I've had an experience, I gave my life to the Lord, or I accepted Jesus in my heart, and if you just got some kind of flimsy testimony of that nature, and that's what you're banking on, but you currently are living in sin, if you currently have idolatry in your life, if you currently do not love the Lord, then you need to examine yourself. You need to see if you truly are a Christian or not. And some of you that want to live the Christian life, you truly do, and you are a Christian, you want to overcome sin, you want to be stronger in faith, and you don't want to have doubts, and you don't want to struggle with this or that temptation that you struggle with on a regular basis. What do I do? Well, this text tells us. It says, therefore, as you receive Christ the Lord, so walk in Him. That walk in Him is just emblematic of this is how you live the Christian life. Walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So here we're going to have four basic points of living the Christian life. What it means to walk in Christ. Four things you need to do if you're going to walk in Christ. First of all, if you're going to walk in Christ, you have to first be a Christian. We see that in verse 6. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him. It's implied if you're going to walk in Him, you've had to first receive Him. And if you have not received Him, then you can't walk in Him. You can't be a Christian. You can't live out the Christian life if you're not a Christian. It's that simple. You can't live a holy life if you're still dead in your trespasses and sins. You cannot live unto the Lord if you're lost. It's an impossibility. I remember once trying to iron a shirt. I have tried that before. And I was working hard at this thing, and I was realizing I need to put a little more elbow muscle into it and press this, the wrinkles out, and these wrinkles were not going out, and I was working and working and working. And I was like, what is wrong? Where do these wrinkles come from? Then I noticed the iron wasn't plugged in. And a lot of you are trying to live the Christian life, and you don't have power. You're just unplugged. You're not a Christian, and you're trying. You want to live the Christian life, but you can't do it on your own. It's an impossibility. And you're struggling, and you struggle, and you struggle, and you struggle, and you struggle, and you keep on struggling, but there's just no victory because there's no life. There's no power. There's no assistance. You cannot live a holy life without divine help. You can't do it on your own. And if you're not a Christian, I don't care how hard you try, you cannot love Jesus more than you love yourself. Church will be a drudgery. Praying is a drudgery. Reading the scriptures is a drudgery. Just the basics of Christianity are not fun. It's a duty. It's a work. It's not enjoyable. Because there's no life there. You don't have to tell true Christians to go to church. Sometimes you have to tell them. But as a whole, it's within them. You don't have to tell Christians read your Bible? Again, sometimes you have to tell them. But it's life. It's nourishment. It's food. It's better than anything else in this world. But if you don't know the Lord, no wonder it's so hard. No wonder you're struggling. You keep falling into the same sin over and over and over, and you really kind of like it. Why, you may not have received Christ to begin with. You said, Jeff, you're giving me doubt. Shame on you for doing that. The Bible says, do not be deceived. Drunkards, liars, thieves shall not inherit the kingdom of God. John put it this way in 1 John, that he who is born again, he who has received Christ, cannot continue or abide, live in sin. It's an impossibility for true believers to have habitual sin that's unrepentant of. It's impossible. Oh, I know, my son is a Christian. I know he's a Christian. He was baptized. We say that to ourselves to comfort ourselves. All the while when our son is just living a life that is not just a little inconsistent with the Lord. It's quite in rebellion against the Lord. You're not a follower of Christ if you don't follow Christ. Thus, Paul tells us, examine yourselves. That's you and me. Every now and then, we just need to have a good examination. Am I a real believer? Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate, one that Christ rejects at the end. You need to make sure. You need to really examine your life. There's nothing greater and more important for you to worry about than your soul. I mean, you may be worried about the stock market. You may be worried about retirement. You may be worried about graduating high school. You may be worried about this. You may be worried about that. You may be worried about all things under the sun, and all the while neglect the thing you should be most concerned about. That which never dies. That which you must make sure. And this is an examination for you and I. It's an examination for me. You know, there's a lot of preachers that don't make it to heaven. Now notice what it says. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord. This is not, we're going to have to walk in the way we receive Christ. But notice how we've received Him. First, we've received Him as Christ. We've received Him as, the word Christ means the anointed one or the Messiah. Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? Who does people say that I am? Well, you're John the Baptist or you're a prophet. And Jesus looked at His disciples, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah. You're the Messiah, the anointed one of God. The one sent from God, the one that's anointed from the Lord. And Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. If you're going to be a Christian, you've got to know who Jesus is. So I believe in Jesus. A lot of people believe in a Jesus. But they don't have the right Jesus they're believing in. You have to understand who Christ is to be a Christian. And you have to have right theology, doctrine on the gospel to be a Christian. He has to be the Messiah, the Messiah. But notice it doesn't just say Christ Jesus, but it says you've received Christ Jesus the Lord. How have you become a Christian? You didn't just receive the fact that Jesus is Messiah. You've received him as your Lord. The Lord. Paul says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Now that's not just how he's the king of the universe. I confess that. No, this is a confession that Jesus is your Lord. This is a confession that you're bowing the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot receive Christ until you've surrendered everything. Some of you think you're a Christian. You just think you are. And you've given him so much. You've given them, you've sacrificed a lot for the Lord. You've sacrificed a little bit of funds and finances. You've sacrificed some of your time and energy. You've given them this, you've given them that. And you don't mind giving God certain things. But there is one thing in your life that you're holding back. There's one thing you say, you can have this, you can have that, but not this, Lord. This is mine. Rich young ruler asked the Lord, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus says, you have to sell everything and come follow me. The Lord put his finger on the thing that the rich man had as his idol, his wealth. And he went away sad because he knew he couldn't give it up. Some of you have to wonder, have I actually surrendered all? You sing the song, I Surrender All, but it's just words for you. He says, my life, you know, I'm going to control my life. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. It's my life. And no one who says that will end up in heaven. If Jesus is not your Lord, he's not your Savior. There's no salvation with full surrender. He said, Jeff, you're making it more complicated than it is. Listen to the words of Jesus. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What do you think that means? The Lord was so specific on the instructions that you have to be willing to forsake your mother and your father. Well, that's radical. That's radical. It's like you gotta give up everything. And even it says, even your own life. Because you have to be sorry for your sins. And as long as you have idols in your life, you're saying, this is what I really love, that is your God. Whatever you will not give to God is your God. And God will not be second. And you have to be willing to say, Lord, have everything. Take my life. Take everything I have. I surrender it all to you. Luke 14:27, Jesus says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So sometimes, even as a Christian, we have to go back to the basics. We have to go back and say, okay, have I picked up any idols along the way? Is there something that is just real important to me and I'm getting frustrated because I cannot get what I want? And James puts it this way, where does wars and fighting and feuding come from among you? It comes from your discontentment. It becomes because you want things that you don't have. You're lusting for this and you just don't have it, and therefore you're dissatisfied. And thus, since you're dissatisfied within you, that dissatisfaction is bleeding over into your relationships. Sometimes we just have to get back and say, have I picked up my cross today? Today, have I picked up my cross? Have I surrendered my life back to the Lord today? Christian life is not that hard. It's got these simple things, and it begins with repentance. And it doesn't end there. As you've received Christ, walk in Him. As you begin the race, keep that pace up. And how did you begin? With repentance. Therefore, the Christian life is a life of continuous repentance. Now, when you get to heaven, no more repentance. Because there's no more sin. But he who says he's without sin in this life is a liar. But if we repent, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness. This is basic Christianity, and you really don't graduate from the simplicity of it. It stays with a life of contrition, humility, repentance, surrender. We're following cross, and we pick up following Christ by picking up our cross daily. So, have you picked up your cross today? If not, do it now. Surrender all now. There's no way forward without doing that. Receive Him as Lord. Now, this doesn't use the word faith, but it's simply implied there. As you have received Christ, walk in Him. It doesn't use the word faith, but it's everywhere implied. We receive Christ by faith. John 1:12, to you who have received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. You've received Christ by faith. Christ is a free gift, and the only way to receive it is by believing, by faith. And that's the point that I think Paul is making. This thing about the Christian life is not, it leads to good works. It leads to walking in Christ, but it's not founded on good works. It's founded on a free gift. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. So how did you receive Christ? By faith, freely. You did nothing to get Christ. Now, that's going to be important as we move forward, because there's going to be nothing you do to keep Christ. In the same way you received Him, it's going to be the same way you maintain Him. By faith. You've got to understand that salvation is a gift. That Christ did the labor for you. And you're operating on that labor, not from your own labor. It's a free gift. And then we'll get to the end of this. It says, with abounding in thanksgiving. Well, you've got to understand that this thing's a gift, so that you can live a life of being grateful. It's not what we do. And this is important, because this is what we tend to think. This is the thing we tend to think as Christians. I'm saved by Christ, but I'm maintained by my works. I'm saved by Christ, but I live and walk in Christ by what I do. And there's an element of a truth there, because we must walk. And we must pick up our cross. And we must mortify flesh. We got responsibilities we got to do as a Christian. But we're going to see it is done only by the power of Christ. The iron has to be plugged in. And only when it's plugged in do we have the strength and the ability to walk in Him. So how did we receive Christ? First of all, we received it through repentance, faith, and as a free gift. That's important, because that's how we must continue in this thing. Therefore, as you receive Christ, so walk in Him. That's my second point. We must continue to repent, continue to believe. We must go back to our first love. You know, here we are, we're 10 years in, we're 15 years in, some of us are 30 or 40 years into this Christian life, and we're struggling. What do? Go back to the alphabet. Go back to where we started. Get back to the simplicity of Christianity. It's faith. It's faith. It's always been by faith. Now, before we talk about walking in faith, what does it mean, this phrase, walk in Christ? Am I the only one that thinks that's an odd statement? What if I said, walk in Jeff Johnson? That sentence just does not make sense. It's the wrong preposition. You can walk with Jeff Johnson, but you can't walk in me. I don't think. You know, you can walk in the woods, right? But you can't walk in a person. How in the world do you walk in Christ? And I understand the phrase walk in love, walk in joy. I can kind of understand the metaphor, what that may mean. Walk in love. It says be full of love. Just conduct yourself in love. I think that's what that would mean, walk. But what does it mean to walk in Christ, to walk inside of Him? How does that even make sense? Well, first of all, it means that we don't walk through Him. Or grow out of Him. It means that we begin inside of Him. And this in talking about our union in Christ. That we become united to Jesus Christ. Just as you've received Him, you've received Him by faith, and by faith you become one with Christ. You become united with Christ. You are in Him, and He's in you. That is the great spiritual union of Christianity. This is a supernatural thing. It's not like the Church of Christ teach that salvation is only an intellectual decision. It's not like the Muslims believe that you become a Christian by saying the right things, and you don't really have to mean it in your heart, but you just say it. And you have to have these certain things, and that's what makes you a Muslim. Christianity is not just believing in your mind certain things. It's actually becoming united, joined, connected to Christ. You know, husbands and wife understand this to some degree, where two become one flesh. No longer you're a single entity, but you're a body. You're united. Not just a legally united, but you're personally, practically united and joined together. Well, Christianity is being united to Jesus Christ, and He's living in you, and you're in Him. Now, you walk in Him. You don't ever walk through Him and eventually you leave Him behind. You live the Christian life only in Him, only as He empowers you and strengthens you. He is the life, He is the head, He is our righteousness, He is our strength, He is the victory. Without Him, we can do nothing. And it's only in His strength and in His power can we live the Christian life. So how do we walk in Christ? We walk in Christ by the same way we received Him. Paul said it this way in Galatians 3, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" See, the Galatians were tempted, okay, I was saved. This is how I got saved, by faith alone, in Christ alone. That's my justification. But now that I'm justified, I'm sanctified a different way. I'm sanctified by my own flesh, by my own efforts, by me just pulling myself up by my bootstraps. And some of you are struggling in sin because you're trying to put a good effort, you're working, you're hard at it, but you're failing, you're miserably failing because you have no power. You're doing it on your own. You're doing it in the flesh. Are you so foolish to have receive Christ by faith that now you think you don't need faith to live the Christian life? The essence of the Christian life from the beginning to the end is by faith. This is why it says the just are not just converted by faith. It says the just shall What does it mean to live by faith? Well, in a spiritual sense, you're on life support. You always will be. You know, it's better than being dead. And that's what you were before you were put on life support. And your life is not in yourself. You're connected to a machine. You're connected to something that's keeping your heart beating and keeping oxygen running through your lungs. And if you are ever removed from that life support, it's over. The Christian life is not God initiating life and giving it to you and walking away and letting you live out the rest of your spiritual life on your own. No, it's Christ connecting himself to you. He is your life support, and you have to live in him to maintain that life. And it's only as you're getting the life from Christ do you have the life to live on earth. This is why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we live by faith, not by sight." This is the heart of Christianity. Sometimes you have trials coming. Sometimes you're looking at this and looking at that, and you get so full of doubt, mistrust. The Christian life is not lived on your feelings, not what you see. Sometimes you can't trust your feelings. You can't trust your circumstances. You can't trust what you're seeing. How was he able to walk on water? Jesus said, "Come out here," you know. Peter did. I mean, he was successful for a little while. But we are told that the story of Peter walking on water, and when Christ was walking on water, there was a big storm going on. And the storm is a distraction. It looks like, none of us think we can walk on water. But if there was a storm, and the waves are coming up and down, that would make it all the more difficult. It appears that Peter was able, as long as he was looking at Jesus, was able to walk on water. But once he took his eyes off the Lord and he put it upon the storms of life, he began to sink. And that's what happens to you and I every day. The storms, the wind is trials, temptations, the love of the world. It's just beating on us constantly. It's, you know, it's the television. Or some for men who are trying to be pure with their eyes, it's their cell phones. Imagine of all these things that's coming at us, trying to lure us away from Christ. Take your eyes off Christ. And we fall. And look, Lord, why am I falling? I'm telling you, the reason you and I fall is because we don't have faith. It's a faith issue. You could walk on water if you just believed. I'm not talking about Lake Maumelle or Beaver Fork, Arkansas River. I'm talking about overcoming sin. The Bible says you're to reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to Christ. It takes faith to believe it. I don't have to sin. I have victory in Jesus Christ. I am not captive to this sin. I have been liberated. The jail cell has been opened up for me. I don't have to be captive to this bondage. I can live in Christ. I can walk in Christ. I can have victory. But the Bible says faith is the victory. You don't graduate from believing. It's what gets you in. It's what keeps you in. And you have to stay in by faith. Believing. And he's like, do you believe? He's like, Lord, I do believe, but I help my unbelief. That's where we struggle with. This is the great tension of the Christian life, is we believe, but we doubt. We believe, but we don't have the strength to believe as we should. Just believing. We need to increase our faith. Trust God. You know, the whole Christian life from beginning to the end is based upon faith. You know, your prayer life. You know, the reason we don't pray and the reason we don't have our prayers answered is we just don't believe. According to your faith, Jesus said, let it be done to you. Remember how many times he marveled at faith and sometimes he rebuked people for their lack of faith? Faith is not a small thing about the Christian life. I'm telling you, it's the heart of the Christian life. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Man, that should lead you to pray for your lost children, shouldn't it? Well, I don't believe. I know. It's hard to believe. Because everything in the world seems like it's not, God's not going to answer that. The Bible says it this way, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Aren't you glad that you have financial struggles? No, really. You know, some of the worst things that could happen to you and I is we have more money than we need. Think about the trouble we would get into if we had more money than we needed. Think about it. You have just what you need, not a dollar more, not a dollar less. God knows what you need when you need it. And he puts you to the test every now and then. Are you going to trust God? Are you going to trust the Lord? You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to give to charitable needs or give to the church or give to the Lord when it takes faith to do so. Doesn't, isn't it? Just to trust him for your daily food. What does the Lord teach us in the prayer? Give us tomorrow's food today. You know, it says, give us today our food, our daily food. Trusting the Lord, walking by faith. Not by sight. Trusting the Lord is the key to the Christian life. God's given us certain promises, and the promises of the Bible should be the things that we search out, we look for, we grab a promise, and we hang on to it, and we just meditate upon it, we depend upon it. You know, that's the thing you're doing, you and I are doing for salvation. You know, that's the thing that gave me a personal assurance that I'm a Christian. I doubted my salvation for many years, especially in those early years. You know, I doubted, I was wondering, and here I was in the college, I was called to be a preacher, and I was studying theology. But during that time I was studying theology, I wondered if I was even a Christian. And the thing that helped me more than anything else was the fact that I realized that the gospel is a promise. And I just hung to the promise, and I said, God cannot lie. Now, that gives us really good hope to live the Christian life. There's promises that there will be no temptation that you cannot bear. You can't say, well, I can't not do this. I've got to sin. That's a lie. You're doubting the promises of God. You can, and you say, well, Jeff, right now, you've caused me to wonder about my salvation. Am I a Christian? Am I not a Christian? I don't know anymore. Listen, it doesn't really matter if you are or not. The answer is the same. Believe. And thou shalt be saved. It couldn't be any more free. It couldn't be any better. God is not just promising to justify you. He's promising to sanctify you. He's promising to keep you. He's promising to give you victory over your sins. Do you believe that? Oh, come on, guys. More people say amen. And I'm preaching, I'm about to bust out with joy thinking about these things. This salvation is great. It's based upon Christ. It's based upon His promises. It's based upon just believing and trusting and looking to Him and not ourselves. Just as you've received Him. Now just walk in Him. Keep it up. Keep believing. Keep repenting. Keep trusting. Keep looking. It's a gift from start to finish. Verse 7 says essentially the same thing. Rooted and built up in Him. It's got the past tense, then the ongoing present tense. Rooted, in the sense like we have been rooted. As we've received Christ, we're in Christ, we're rooted in Him. That's past tense. Those who have received Christ are grounded, rooted in Jesus Christ. We are in Him. Now it says being built up in Him. You know, you don't walk through Christ, you walk in Christ. You don't get rooted in Christ and grow out of Him and say, okay, I'm done with Christ. I'm on to other things. You're rooted in Him, and then you have to be built up in Him. You've got to grow into Him. You've got to keep diving deeper into Christ. More of Christ. Notice the in Him. You're built up in Him. Then it goes on to say, and establish in the faith just as you were taught. There's some things you have to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, and you need to become more and more educated theologically. You need to have more and more sound doctrine. You know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And you need to be, all of you need to be theologians. It's not just for pastors. Everybody needs to be worried about the Word of God and studying the Scriptures. What does the Bible teach? You need to know these things. But there's some things you don't ever graduate from. If you're a Christian, you know the gospel. You can't be a Christian without knowing that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is Lord, that He died on the cross and rose again for our sins. There's some things you just cannot know to be without being a Christian. You have to know. And that which brought you into salvation, that which you're rooted in, that which you received, in one sense, you never get past that. You're rooted, and you're to be built up and established in the faith which you've received, which you've been taught. That which you already know, the ABCs of the Gospels. You know, go back to this, the plain gospel. You never graduate from the gospel. You never get where that's old stuff. Now I'm into eschatology. I'm into this deeper stuff. I want to know about infralapsarianism. I want to know about all these detailed things. And that's, hey, let's get into that stuff. And I'm with you there. But you never, ever get past Jesus died for me. That's what you go back to. That's what you live on. That's what keeps you. That's what you live. Christ is my all in all. He is my salvation. He is my Lord. His promises is what I believe. I trust. I walk by faith. I'm established in the faith that I've been taught. And I don't ever get past that. Now we see in the end of verse 7. And again, if we understand that we received it by faith as a gift, we do nothing, it's the promises of God. No wonder it ends by saying abounding in thanksgiving. You know, Christianity is not too hard for you. Jesus says, my burden is light. Come follow me. I'm not going to put too much on you. It's the devil that makes you think you can't do it. It makes it too hard and too difficult. Not Jesus. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, and my burden is light. He's a good Lord. Yes, he's your Lord. Yes, you do surrender all. But you find him to be a good master, tender and patient, kind. He's there for you. He'll never see you. You'll never trust in him and never be disappointed. The more you trust in him, the more you find him to be faithful. He'll be there for you. Let me end by encouraging you all to believe. No matter where you're at. Remember I said that there's possibly three people in this congregation. There's probably four. There's some people that know they're lost. And then there's some that think they're saved that they're not. There's some people that think they're not saved, but they probably are saved or could be saved. And then there's some of us that we're saved and we know we're saved. But no matter what category you fall into, here's what you need to do. Believe. Just keep believing. Believe. The Lord will not break his promise to you. He will save you. Come to him. Let's go, Lord, in prayer.